Art. Thank you. Welcome to the Community Wellbeing Scrutiny Committee. I'm Jill Hood and I'll be chairing this meeting. If you want to speak, please will you hold your hands up and you will be noticed and asked to speak in turn. Can you please switch your mobile phones to silent? Thank you.
I remember,
Jill. Oh, yes. And two phones. Okay, begin with item one, the agenda, minutes of the 8th of March 2022, as previously published on the Council's website.
Chairman, may I ask, is that the revised ones we're approving? Because I actually asked for them, asked if they could be amended.
Can you remind me, Councillor Loughran, which aspect you wanted?
Yes, it was about the referral of the question about dentistry to the county scrutiny. Because I had said in actual fact that the chair had decided that that would be referred to the county scrutiny committee. It was not the committee who decided it.
I did seek the advice of the head of law and admin on that point, and we have changed the wording a little bit. So it neither says, if I remember rightly, because we've had the minutes signed off, but we can replace that page. If my memory serves me correctly, we neither said the committee or the chair. It made reference to the in accordance with the joint code of working, it was referred to the committee, which is how we should operate.
Can you say that again to me,
yes,
please? Because I feel quite strongly about the fact that the committee didn't decide that that should go. It was an actual fact. I mean, the committee didn't even discuss that matter.
I think I did make it very clear that it was for the county council to discuss and not the borough council. And in fact, yesterday at the health scrutiny meeting, Councillor Pert will tell you that we now have a definite date for dentistry to be discussed on their at their meeting.
Well, I sincerely hope they can get a full report from the county about that.
Councillor Pert.
Since you're not willing to discuss it.
Through you, Chair. Rather than discussing the last piece, can I just give you that date where the health scrutiny are? Would that help? Through you, Chair. So the ICS, the Integrated Care System, started its formal role from the 1st of July. It's been operating for the last 12 months in shadow format, and that's the statutory instruments that is replacing six CCGs across Staffordshire, probably Anstoke-on-Trent and Fens. Whilst they have a defined remit, that remit is going to increase to include dentistry from the 1st of April next year. Now, clearly, there are some concerns about dentistry across the county in terms of capacity, and County Councillor Charlotte Atkins talked a bit about some of that yesterday, and by the means watch the transcript back. And it was decided as a result of the two issues, those are the capacity concerns and the need to try and make sure that it's within our scrutiny radar to bring dentistry and the wider scrutiny to a committee in the first, I think it's the first meeting in March, which is the first of March. The concern of doing it sooner is that whatever plans the ICS have will be fully developed, and we'll be talking about something which is looking principally backwards rather than looking at some of a position in time now and looking forwards, if that makes any sense. And that was why there was the decision to look at it in March of next year.
So presumably, in shorthand, that means it's in the work programme?
It's not shorthand, it is actually in the work programme, yes. And I think the timing is appropriate for the other balance of issues within the committee's work programme, and to make sure that, as I say, it's forward focused as well as picking up the here and now. I should say one other thing that through you, Chair, that there is a clear theme through the whole of health and care, which is about the shortage of professionals.
Mm-hmm.
And we have diarised in October a meeting which is to start looking at the joining up of things like career plans for health and care. So, for example, you might get somebody who starts within the care profession, then goes across into hospitals, maybe into GPs, and then back again into care. And we need to make sure that those are not just aspirations of the system, they actually come to pass. I think in the 2 years I've chaired the committee, I've heard a lot of talk about creating career plans and to make sure that health and care is an attractive career for people to come into and stay in. And we just need to make sure that that is a reality happening in Staffordshire. At this moment in time, I'm waiting to be shown those plans, and I wait, and I'm sure committee do, to see what happens then.
Well, thank you, Chair. Since we've been back to my question about the minutes, just refresh my memory there.
Just bear with me. I can tell you exactly what we changed the minutes to. But there is a joint code of working between the county council and themselves and all the districts. So any issue that is more than borough wide is dealt with by the county house scrutiny committee.
Oh, it's got some lovely photographs here.
Yeah, the minutes actually on the web now read, in accordance with the Code of Joint Working Arrangements with Staffordshire County Council, the item was referred to the Staffordshire Health and Care Overview and Scrutiny Committee for consideration.
Okay, thank you, Andrew.
Thank you. Great, thank you for that.
So can we accept the minutes?
As amended.
As amended. Okay, thank you. Item 2, apologies.
Thank you. Apologies from councillors R.J. Barron and Marnie Phillips.
Thank you. Item 3, public question time.
That's nil.
Item 4, councillor session.
And that's nil.
Item 5, members' item. Go to page 4. Page 5, can we note the report?
Yes, Chair.
Okay.
We're going to go through the appendices.
Are we going to go through it?
If you want to go through it, absolutely.
There's a few things I want to
discuss. Yep, okay.
So can we start from page 6?
Okay, Councillor Hobbs then.
Right, so on page 6 you talked about the Cannock Minor Injuries Unit, and they were working towards reopening the service in June 2022, and I wondered if it had opened and who was providing the service.
Councillor Pert, can you answer that for us?
Chair, I prefer not to. You know, I'm not here to answer the scrutiny questions in the scrutiny committee. I'm not here in my role as chair of health scrutiny. I would just make one point in passing, however, that Cannock MIU is the scrutiny responsibility of Cannock Chase District Council and not Stafford Borough's Borough Council.
You usually come to the table and answer as many questions as you possibly can.
Excuse me, Chair, can I just comment and see what you GFI
Can I just reply to?
Well, sorry,
Andrew. Carolyn Trowbridge is the rep, so perhaps we can ask Carolyn and then feed back to you. Okay. Councillor Pearce.
Thank you. The references to the problem with provision of care in care homes, and it's common knowledge that one of the main problems with hospitals is the problem of lack of beds, which in turn is linked to the lack of availability of provision in care homes for those who need to move on. So, obviously, a very key issue. Are you able to elaborate any more on the progress that's being made there?
No, I'm sorry, Councillor Pearce, I'm not able to. I do apologise.
Well, it's about on page 6, the care home obtained. Councillor
Adjula, can you?
All I can say to you, sorry Chair,
that's okay.
All I can say to you is it's high on the agenda on the Health and Care at County. You know, it's something that's been looked at, and I think the Cabinet Member Julie Jessel is looking into that. So, you know, it's there and still being discussed.
Yes, this was talk one time of the County commissioning a number of new care homes rather than relying on private sectors.
I think we're really at risk, Chair, if you ask me, of rerunning the county scrutiny in this district, and I'm not convinced that that's the purpose of these reports. If members are interested to go to county scrutiny, I would welcome their involvement in the public gallery.
Thank you. Councillor Lockham.
Well, Chair, I would like to point out that 1.1 on page 4. It says to consider the report of Councillor Hayton for matters considered by the Health and Care over Human Scrutiny Authority at the previous meetings held on the 11th of April and the 30th of May. So I would understand that this is your report that's coming to us. Surely, I mean, and you've talked about Councillor Trowbridge and you've talked to Councillor Edgeland, you've talked to Councillor Pearce. I don't quite understand. This is your report, and I don't understand why you can't answer the questions.
I think perhaps prior to the meeting, if you'd have got in touch with me, I could have supplied the information to you, which would have been extremely helpful.
I didn't ask the question, by the way. I'm just seeing your report.
Councillor Adjula.
Just to say, you know, on the recommendations, the report of Councillor J. Hood to be noted.
Do you have any? Yes.
Just a minute. The problem that we have, and as the council says, really, if you want to be involved in asking questions of the scrutiny committee, the county, you need to attend the meetings. The problem we have is that these reports are one out of date.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, thanks again to Councillor Burke for introducing and explaining the Integrated Care Board, because they took over on the 1st of March, 1st of July, and quite honestly, the CC, you know, we can only assume that the MIU did open on at the end of June.
Councillor Pert.
Oh,
I'm so sorry, Councillor Pert.
I was just going to make the point, maybe, which might move this discussion further forward, because I, you know, members have clearly got an interest in this, and that's fair. Maybe the best way forward is these meetings are recorded. You know, for example, we have 3 hours of meeting a number of subjects. Discussing a number of subjects around the table yesterday, and maybe it would be, you know, really good, because to get into the meat of these things without doing a whole scrutiny session and replaying what's done across the road, maybe watching the 3 hours is a good starting point, or the bits of the 3 hours that you're interested in, because I would hope that as a scrutiny committee we ask the relevant questions that any councillor from any ward from any borough or district would want to know the answers to. Clearly our job is not to be focused on one ward, because that isn't the job of the county scrutiny, but I would hope that it covered the key salient issues for everywhere. And if we're not, then I'd be interested in understanding that. And maybe that's probably a good way forward to look at those recordings, because they're quite deliberately recorded and widely available to lots of people. Some people even watch them live. There you go.
No, it's just that it was my understanding that if a report was brought here, that we were, you know, showing an interest and wanting a bit more explanation sometimes, just because some things we don't understand. You know, you've looked at them in more detail. I mean, for instance, if a review of dental care in Staffordshire goes ahead, you know, we would hope, because we were interested in that subject and people had come to us and asked us about dentistry and dental care in the area, that then you would feed back on what you've discovered and what is going to be done to improve that service. But we're not, you know, at this point you're not wanting us to ask any questions about something that we've sat and pored over and been interested in.
I understand what you're saying. I know it's no consolation now. I have a book full of notes from yesterday's meeting. Unfortunately, I don't have my book with the 11th of April's notes in. And if I try to answer the question that you've asked, it's not going to be accurate. I think what Councillor Perth has said is quite right.
I mean, can we just continue to just bring things up just in case? Is that okay? You know, in case it is something that you know or remember.
Do you mean now?
There are things that I am really interested in.
Do you mean now, Councillor Hobbs?
Yeah.
Well, it does say to be noted, but I'm willing to take a question from you.
Okay, well, so there was the care homes. Then there was the spotlight review of sexual harassment in schools. And one of the significant findings was that all schools should assume that it's happening in their school and take appropriate steps. And I wonder, do schools have a reporting system, or is it just a normal safeguarding system?
I'm sorry, yes, Councillor Edgler.
Thank you very much for that. Yes, there were three of us actually on the committee, and I was one of them looking at sexual harassment and that, and the sexual harassment in schools and what have you. Has a summary been done, and I don't know whether it's gone to Cabinet yet, but it was going to Cabinet for them to look at it, you know, so we await that the result of it, finding what Cabinet are saying about it. Yeah. At county I'm talking about now, not borough.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anything else? Yes, Councillor.
Yeah, I'm coming back yet again to this thing that you're trying to see under 2.1, the recommendation that the report of councillor be promoted. And it's all very well saying that, but if you look at item 7b, the recommendation is that the information is noted. So either I say there is something wrong with the minutes, if you're only being asked to note information or note reports, you'd be better adding on to it and there will be no discussion.
Well,
because that follows on from that, if you're saying the report from Councillor Hood be noted, we're just all going to sit here and log in and say, oh, I've had a great time. How to scrutiny? When you come to item 7b, that says the information is noted, so we just note it. Don't ask any questions.
Well, I don't think it's saying don't ask any questions, but I think traditionally the report is to be noted.
And the information?
Yes.
Is?
The information, you could have got in touch with me before the meeting and I would have supplied the information to you.
No, I'm talking about the principle now of minutes. If you're noting in for
yes,
a report and you're also noting information, tell me the difference about where one you can discuss the information, you can't discuss the report.
I don't make the rules of the
no,
committee,
no,
it says
why
to be noted.
So
Councillor
Perth. Understand it.
notwithstanding, sorry, through you, Chair, notwithstanding what we've already talked about, and I don't move that, I still think it's a very good, sensible suggestion to look at the minutes, sorry, the meeting online, because you know there's a lot of stuff in there, and there's a real diversity of views. But if we go back to the framework, and this is really important, the framework of health scrutiny is as a direct result of the Francis Review. And one of the outcomes of the Francis Review was that scrutiny was done in several places, in certain circumstances, and it was missed in other places. And the reason the framework post-Francis was set up was to make sure there were clear lines as to who was scrutinising what. So the report quite rightly here talks about noting effectively what happened at the meeting, because otherwise the real risk is that we're going to re-scrutinise something that's been scrutinised, and that would be in direct contravention of the recommendations of Francis. And that's why I'm fully behind what your chair has suggested in terms of that this is for noting, this is for information. But if we scrutinise in detail these reports, I think we're right back in the middle of, you know, you've done it. No, I didn't do it. I thought you were doing it, which is exactly what happened in paraphrase terms with Francis. If you look at the terms of reference that all districts and boroughs and the county have signed up to, it is really clear in terms of where the scrutiny should be done. Now, I think if it was a question about understanding and comprehension, because of terminology or something else, then it should not be here as a scrutiny session. One should also remember there's only one chair. And I don't go to any other district and borough function. I'm here in my own right tonight as a cabinet member for communities and health, well-being health, not health. Sorry, that's double Dutch, isn't it? But you know what I mean. So I think there is. I would just countenance, members, and I'm sure all of us involved in the committee, and we deliberately have a district and borough rep who feeds from the District and Borough Committee, as well as a County Council rep on those committees to make sure there is a flow of information. But it shouldn't be seen as a scrutiny session. This is more of we're sharing information from what happened elsewhere, as you would probably expect from other committees. So, for example, when Cabinet meets, you don't pour through their reports and then re-scrutinise Cabinet unless you call in an item. So, I think there is I'm hoping that gives a bit of clarity as to why it's set up as it is and why there is a real nervousness about trying to rerun scrutiny here. I know that won't satisfy the answer to the question, but that's why I think it's really important we're very careful on how we do this. And, I'm sure we'd welcome other people's involvement, but equally it's not for committee to scrutinise dentistry, for example, and then bring back all the bits. And then discuss that. I expect people to go and watch it, be in the public gallery, and get engaged that way. That's what I would expect.
Thank you, Councillor Pert. You've certainly got your teeth into that.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Councillor Edgela.
Just to say, if there's something that's just permanent to Stafford Borough, then okay, yeah, we'll be Council. But if it's something that's Staffordshire-wide, then it goes to County. This is why dentistry is Staffordshire-wide, and this is why it's on the health and care.
Do I have any more questions on pages 6 and 7? Page 8. Page 9. Okay, we move on to page 10 now. I do beg your pardon. Tracy, you're going to introduce your team, aren't you?
Yes, I am. So, through you, Chair, tonight we are receiving a presentation on antisocial behaviour, and this is part of our statutory duty in terms of community safety. So, I have some wonderful ladies here that I would like to introduce you to. I'm going to really embarrass them now. So, Vicky Applecroft, who is stand up there. So Vicky is my partnership manager, and she has strategic responsibility for all aspects of community safety and antisocial behaviour. Victoria Cooper. So Victoria Cooper is my community safety lead, so she deals with MARAC, all the commission services, and vulnerabilities across the board. And Helen Marshall, who some of you have heard of, who is my partnership officer responsible for antisocial behaviour. So these ladies have an absolute wealth of experience, and they are exceptionally good at their jobs. So Helen is going to start the presentation, so I hope that you enjoy, and please feel free to ask questions at the end. So thank you very much, Chair.
When we were still experiencing the restrictions through the second or third lockdown, I've forgotten anyway. I would have met some of you a whole lot sooner than I have done. Just a little bit about my experience. Worked in another local authority in Staffordshire prior to coming here, and again dealt with community safety. So although I've only been in Stafford for about 16-17 months, I've worked for over 13 years in the field of antisocial behaviour and community safety. So this evening I'm going to give you a bit of a whistle-stop tour in terms of antisocial behaviour. If I've used any acronyms or anything that you don't understand, then please just make a note and we'll be able to take some questions at the end. But let's give some background. So we've got the Antisocial Behaviour, Crime and Disorder Act of 1998, which basically sets the framework. And sections 5 to 7 and 17 require local authorities and the police, with other key agencies such as probation and health, to work together at district or borough level to develop and implement strategies for reducing crime and disorder in the area. And I think sometimes people are a little concerned about that, because they say, well, surely crime is responsibility of the police. A lot of the crime and antisocial behaviour that we experience in any area can't be solved by one agency alone. It has to be a multi-agency approach to do that. So here in Stafford, we have the Community Wellbeing Partnership, and that partnership, again, brings together those partners at a local level. And what they look at is our partnership plan, and they will make any recommendations in terms of that partnership plan and come together to decide how we are going to deliver those priorities. And those priorities out of something called the strategic assessment, which is undertaken every 12 months and looks back at the previous 12 months and says what are the issues in Stafford and what are the new emerging issues that are coming through. For my sins, I also chair our partnership vulnerability hub, and I think the team were quite glad to push that in my direction when I arrived. Again, I've had quite a lot of experience of that. And we're still operating online in terms of that, but we've generally got between 20 and 25 partners coming around the table every week to discuss those most complex cases. So we've got police, council. In terms of council, we've got housing options represented, we've got environmental health represented, we've also then got some charities who sit on there. So for example, I'm sure you're all aware of Will Morris from the House of Bread.
he sits on that partnership hook and feeds in and highlights people who potentially may be vulnerable, who aren't coming through the traditional routes to our attention, but also he will assist. So for example, if we need to get messages to, say, an entrenched rough sleeper who, for example, is, you know, won't engage with the traditional services but will engage with somebody like House of Bread, we can use Will and his team to act as a conduit and to provide that information and guidance. So again, you know, we're all working together to get the best possible outcome for our residents. And then underpinning all of that, we've got the Stafford Borough Council Antisocial Behaviour Policy 21-24, which basically states how we're going to deal with antisocial behaviour and what powers we have available to us to utilise. So, let me give you a bit of the scene in Stafford. It was interesting, we'd had a conversation with Councillor Perter a few weeks, possibly over a month or so ago, around has antisocial behaviour changed in Stafford since COVID. And I think it's actually fair to say that it has changed. But the first column, we've got the police antisocial behaviour data. The second column, which is much less, and please don't panic when you see a much reduced figure against the ASB, but obviously most ASB does get reported directly to the police. So for example, if there's some antisocial behaviour that's happening at 10 o'clock tonight in our town centre, wouldn't necessarily think of phoning the council. It would generally be reported through to the police. So, to give you some context to that as well, rowdy and inconsiderate behaviour in Stafford and Stone Town centres is mainly reported to the police rather than the council. Related to this, the nighttime economy was very restricted or non-existent during COVID, and some restrictions were still in place in terms of the nighttime economy over the early part of 2021. What you'll find with the people that contact Stafford Borough Council to report antisocial behaviour is that very often they have reported it somewhere else and they feel, for whatever reason, that they haven't got the service or the outcome that they possibly wanted. So in some cases, and I've been working on a case for some months now, the issues in the community had been going on for a long time, but people, for whatever reason, didn't want to report those or chose not to do them. So they come to me and they want to basically offload the last 2 or 3 years worth of their issues. And it's sometimes very difficult because you're having to say to people, we can only really deal with the here and now. And I'll touch a little bit more on that in a few minutes. But the other thing I want to say before I move on is generally people's tolerance in terms of their neighbours and other people in the community is much lower since March 2020. People are working at home a lot more. People were obviously financially affected during the first lockdown of COVID, and obviously things did improve. But I think people were absolutely tested in terms of their ability to deal with things that normally we would say, it's a little bit of noise, it'll be gone, we'll move on. So for example, and this is a case from my previous area, because my first lockdown I was in, still in my other area, and I had a lady phone me who said, I have got somebody who's on the car park at the back of me doing some DIY, and the government have said that they can't go out. Actually, the government haven't said that. And once I peeled back the onion and got right to the heart of it, she was having to shield. She had been identified, she'd been told she couldn't go out, and then all of a sudden she'd got somebody just over the back fence in a car park doing some DIY. And when we got to the bottom of it all, he'd been furloughed. So ultimately he was trying to fill his time with doing something constructive. So sometimes cases aren't what they seem, and it is about having that capacity and that expertise to tease the issues apart and see ultimately what lies at the very bottom of the issues. So as I said, talked about people spending more time at home, in children being homeschooled, and therefore seeing and hearing neighbours far more than they ever probably had done. And COVID did have a negative impact on some people's finances, and therefore was another additional impact on some people's lives. But it's all about putting victims first. So how does Stafford Borough Council deal with reports of antisocial behaviour? Well, you can either phone into the council, or there is a self form, self reporting form that you can fill in, provide us with all the details, and that automatically comes to our inbox. So if somebody does it at 10 o'clock tonight, it will be there waiting for us tomorrow morning for us to have a look at. As part of that, we'll have a quick flick through and see what the issue somebody is saying, and then we will email them if we can, or we'll make contact by phone, and we'll send them some diary sheets. And the diary sheets are really, really important. People sometimes will say, why do we need to complete the diary sheets? Why can't I just tell you everything that's happened? Well, the reason for that is we will use, or can use, the antisocial behaviour legislation, which I'll talk to you about in a minute. And that is clear in that the legislation and the tools and powers that come with that legislation can only be used if the behaviour is persistent and continuing in nature, if the behaviour is unreasonable, and if the behaviour is having a detrimental effect on quality of life. So you need to build up a picture. So if somebody says to me, children have been out in the streets and they've been playing at 10 o'clock tonight, I won't say, so what? But I will say, okay, first of all, children playing, have they been doing any damage? Have they caused any criminal damage? Have they been abusive in any way? What's the impact been on you as the complainant? But I'd also need, going back to that ASB legislation, I'd need to prove that that behaviour is persistent and continuing in nature. So that's why those diary sheets are really important. So once they're returned, we'll review them, including speaking with colleagues in external housing, because again, very often we will get somebody who says, I've reported this to the housing association, but they've done nothing about it. Okay. So again, what have the housing providers done? What have the police done if it's been reported to them? And then once we've got all of that information together, we will look at whether we can utilise the tools and powers under the Antisocial Behaviour, Crime and Policing Act. And again, I'll go into a little bit more depth with that in a moment. But lastly on there is refer to Harmony. Just over 12 months ago, the Staffordshire Commissioner's Office commissioned a county-wide service to provide support to victims of antisocial behaviour. And as part of that, their service is called Harmony. So even if somebody reports something to us, they can get some additional support from Harmony. So as part of that conversation with complainants, we'd always say, do you need some
ongoing support from Harmony. And one of the things that they offer, which has been patchy across the county historically, is that they now operate a mediation service. Now, mediation isn't suitable for all cases, and if cases are very entrenched, then I would never refer them to mediation, because ultimately the issues are entrenched and you're never going to move people away from that entrenched position. But again, that is something that we can utilise. So, what does the Antisocial Behaviour, Crime and Policing Act give us? So, community protection notices. Basically, it is a notice that we can serve on somebody over the age of 16 by saying the behaviour that you are displaying is having a detrimental effect on quality of life, is persistent and continuing in nature, and the behaviour is unreasonable. So, for example, that could be loud music that doesn't necessarily meet a statutory noise nuisance level that environmental health would be able to deal with. It could be that, and again, another example that I've dealt with, we've had a young lady who's been busking in the town centre quite a lot over the last 6 months, and it really came to our attention when the high street started to open back up, and shops were saying, you know, we can't have somebody busking outside with an amplifier for 5 or 6 hours a day. So in that case, I did serve a community protection notice. There's a starting point, which is a warning. So you have a warning to say, this is your behaviour, this is the effect, and you put conditions on there. So for example, in being fair, I didn't want to ban the busker completely, but what I wanted to do was make sure that her impact on the businesses, on the individual shoppers, was minimised. So for example, the conditions were she can only busk every no consecutive days. So for argument's sake, if she busks on a Monday, she can't be there on a Tuesday. No more than 3 times in a week. And she has to rotate around the high street as well. Okay, so that's not saying that she can't do it, but we're restricting the impact. She breached the warning, so the young lady in question got served with a CPN, and basically does what it says on the tin. It does generally restrict behaviour. And a lot of people who get them think, actually, I need to take notice of this. If somebody breaches the notice, then we can issue them with a fixed penalty fine. And if they don't pay the fixed penalty fine, then we can prosecute for the original offence of causing the antisocial behaviour. We also have access to civil injunctions, which is basically like a community protection notice, but this is an order through the court and will tell somebody what they can and can't do. Our housing provider colleagues use these regularly to prevent where there's been issues, say, of violence, to protect their other tenants as well. We've also got a public spaces protection order. You're probably all aware about the public spaces protection order that we've got generally for the town centre of Stafford and for Stone, and also for our parks as well. And that is valid till December 23. So in December of this year, we'll start looking at that process again, see if there's anything we need to add to it, or is there anything we can remove from it. Criminal behaviour orders generally are applied for by the police, and that generally is off the back of a conviction. So if somebody has been convicted for shoplifting, or if they've breached the injunction, then a CBO, a criminal behaviour order, can be applied for off the back of that. Police have got dispersal orders. So again,
you can apply for a dispersal order for generally up to 48 hours in any one go, and it covers a specific area. So when we've been having some issues in the town centre recently, dispersal orders have been put in place, which means that anybody can be asked to leave that area, escorted home if necessary, and if they come back within that 48-hour period, then they can be arrested for that. And so that's very useful. Closure orders, again, sort of at the top end of where the legislation is. Again, we haven't applied for one. Oh, we have. Oh, no. I think police have applied for one. But again, if you went for a closure order, it would be useful to show to the court that you've gone for community protection notices. You've potentially gone for an injunction. So you're building upon it, trying to change a person's behaviour. And then at the bottom, we've got community trigger. And the community trigger is basically a review. And if somebody has reported antisocial behaviour within the last 6 months and they're not certain that any action has taken, or they're not satisfied that the action, any action has been taken, then it can apply for a community trigger. So basically how that works here is if the case has been reported, say, to the housing provider or to Staffordshire Police, I, as an independent, would chair that review, and I would look at what they have undertaken already, and then I would make any recommendations. If it's a case that I've been involved with, but say a housing provider hasn't, then I would ask the housing provider to chair and do exactly the same. So you've got that independent scrutiny over those cases. So let's bring it to life for you. So this was a case that was ongoing when I landed in Stafford. It's a smallish complex, mixture of houses and flats, quite a lot of older residents on there, but because some of the flats were one bedroomed, they were let, fortunately, I don't know how you want to go, to some younger members of the community. Now, they will instantly stick out, especially if you've got an established community. But what was happening in this particular case is that two of the newer residents had formed quite a volatile relationship. There was alcohol issues involved. There was domestic abuse as well. And we found that there was two people who specifically were causing issues, but then there were some other properties where other people were migrating to, visiting, and they were coming with their own set of issues. So complaints had been made to the housing provider and police. And unfortunately, at this time, the government decided there was a ban on any evictions taking place. So you've got residents who are living with, day in, day out, issues that were happening from other members of the community. And one lady actually did say to me, she said, I'm always really frightened about going out of my front door because I have to go past one of the properties on this block. So although the housing provider and police were doing quite a lot of the time their hands were tied because they couldn't see the process through. So the community trigger was requested by a member of the community in August 2020, and obviously as a result of that there was an action plan, and the action plan would be what were police going to do and what were housing going to do. Housing provider applied for injunctions, and those injunctions had got powers of arrest attached to them. And so obviously police needed to be involved with that. So it's about making sure that the police are aware of those injunctions. And then if a member of the public reported something, if it was a breach of that injunction, the police all needed to do was arrest them, take them to custody and put them before the court the following morning. It wasn't up to the police to prove whether they were guilty of breaching that injunction. That is the job of the housing provider or whoever had applied for the injunction. So, as I say, police did serve some CPNs to start with. They didn't work, so we went for the injunctions. And ultimately, once the court system started to open back up again, the housing provider did get possession of those properties. Now, I know Anna caused Anna's team a bit of a headache because you've got people who are now homeless, but on the same side, we've actually got residents who can live in their property without fear of being involved in these incidents on a weekly and sometimes daily basis. And the partnership hub that I mentioned earlier, we utilise that to monitor that case. So we might discuss it one Wednesday morning and then we'd say we're waiting for a court date. So we'd say, okay, we'll discuss it again in 3 weeks' time. So it was always on people's agenda, and if at all it needed pushing in a particular direction, I gave it a gentle nudge to say, you know, what are you doing about this, or has that been considered? So it's about us all working together. And this was what I received from the complainant when I wrote to him to close the case. So I'm sure you can read that, but that's what makes it all worthwhile. And one of the things that I haven't put on here that's come out of that is that, you obviously know the housing provider because it just says somewhere up there, Sanctuary Housing, have actually developed a sensitive lettings policy for those properties, because actually what's really important is putting the right people into those properties so we don't have those issues again, because if we do, those residents' tolerance is going to be absolutely zero, and we don't want that. We can't have that. So you haven't got away with it. How can you assist us? Because, you know, I've made it sound really easy, but ultimately it's not. Cases are very complex. That onion, keep thinking about that onion and keep peeling those layers off, and eventually you get right to the bottom of what the real nitty-gritty is about. So how can you assist us? Well, encourage residents to speak to neighbours as soon as issues start in their community. If I had a penny for every time I've heard somebody say, I can't speak to my neighbour because they're frightening me, but they've never spoken to them. But actually, if I then contact the neighbour and go, we've received an antisocial behaviour complaint, all of a sudden it escalates things. And they'll say, well, why couldn't they come and talk to me? You know, yes, there will be incidents where they physically can't for whatever reason, but where possible, talk to your neighbour. See, you had a party last night, music was a bit loud, you know next time, can you make sure by about 11 we turn it down? Yeah, issue solved. Not in all cases, but yeah, encourage people where you can for them to talk to one another. Encourage them to complete the diary sheets. Again, constant, do I have to complete them? Can't I just tell you? Well, ultimately, you are signing them to say it is a true reflection of what is happening. So actually, they are really, really important to us. And to be able to use that legislation, do you remember I was saying, has to be persistent and continuing in nature. So those diary sheets will prove that. Explain that issues can take a while to resolve. We talk about people being evicted, and of course, if we can get their behaviour to change, there's no need for them to be evicted. But the court won't give a housing provider a property back at the drop of a hat.
So these issues sometimes can take a while to resolve. And very often people will say, well, they just need to be moved. You can move them out. They moved in last week. You can move them out. It's not actually as simple as that. And actually, if we could, we'd just be moving the problem elsewhere. We actually need to try and resolve and stop the behaviour. And lastly, help manage their expectations. So generally, there's only me that deals with antisocial behaviour. Vic and Vic give me a hand, but obviously they've got other responsibilities. So sometimes I am juggling cases and they can take a while. And, you know, for those of you who I've worked with, I know Jeremy and I have a regular conversation, so I might just drop him an email saying, just to keep you updated, this has happened or that's happened. But again, if you can help manage some of those expectations, to say, actually, you know, they're not going to get kicked out of their property. Again, I'll put that into some context. I've been dealing with a case that's a private rented property, but actually the tenant is renting the property off a family member. So although there's a tenancy agreement in place, and I spoke to him as the landlord and said, do you know that your tenant is probably breaching their tenancy agreement because they're committing this antisocial behaviour? He's a bit like, yeah, okay, but they're experiencing it as well. And I'm like, well, yes, if they are, they need to be reporting it, but it doesn't excuse their behaviour. So that particular complainant said, I just need them to move out the property. And I said to them right from the start, I do not have the power to force them out of that property. That is the landlord's decision, ultimately, if he wants to terminate their tenancy. Or if we get eventually to court, it will be the court's decision, because I would ask and say that the landlord potentially is failing his duty as a landlord, because he's not controlling the antisocial behaviour. That is a bit of a whistle-stop tour, and I'm going to look at Vic and say, have I missed anything? No? No? Okay. So, has anybody got any questions they'd like to ask of me? I've stunned you all into silence.
I just ask you, you know, this affects a lot of people in this type of town actually, about how you work with the police and that, on stopping these people riding bikes through the middle of town when they're not supposed to, because there's a lot of it goes off and it doesn't seem to stop. So if there's anything, have you been working with the police on that?
We have been working with the police on that. That's covered by the Public Spaces Protection Order.
Mm-hmm.
Vic and I have been out on numerous occasions, and you might have heard that I tend, if I can't get in front of the bike quick enough, I holler at the top of my voice, not very professionally, but you're in the open air, going, and I'll be brutally honest, oi, you're on your bike, get off it. It just generally frightens them a bit and gives them a bit of a wobble. But it has the desired effect, and they get off and they push their bike, and Vic and I have stood there a few times looking at them, and they keep looking back and they push their bike all the way to the end of the pedestrian area. And obviously, if we've got our fixed penalties, that particular incident, I don't even think we've got our fixed penalty books, but if we had, we'd be issuing them with a fixed penalty. The issue that we've got is that the PCSOs, who are the ones who are generally out in the town centre, do not have the powers to ticket. It is something that is being put forward, not just by Stafford, but by the county as a whole, to look at the powers around the PCSOs, because that would be far more effective.
Can I just come back and just say thank you? Can I just come back and say, Helen, what have you got that I've got? That I haven't got, because I've tried that. Get off your back, and all I've got is verbal abuse.
lessons, thank you. That's okay. I think it's normally the shock. I was with one of the temporary when Inspector Murray was here, and we were doing a, I think it was a Safe for Nights thing, wasn't it? And somebody was trundling down on a bike, and they whiz, and it is dangerous.
Yeah.
And I stood talking to Laura, and I clocked somebody out of the corner of my eye, and so I went, "Oi, off your bike, council, fixed penalty." And Laura just stood there and looked at me, and she went, "Where did that voice come from?" I said, "Well, it's kept. It's kept only for those particular occasions." But yes,
that's,
I want.
Oi.
Oi. So. It's not politically correct, and I wouldn't, you know, but needs must, because if I'm going to be run over by a bike, I'd soon stop.
Councillor Godfrey.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for letting me ask some questions. I'm not a member of your committee.
That's okay.
How is mental health issues with somebody who's causing a problem interfere with the procedures you've got there? How much more difficult does it become?
It can be complex. If somebody has got a mental health diagnosis. However, unless I am told that they do not have capacity to make an informed decision, then they'll be served with CPNW if they meet that threshold. Because, you know, it's easy for people to say, and I'm not belittling mental health at all, and there's a lot of people who suffer from it, but it's a lot of people hide behind it. And actually, if you're causing issues by banging on your neighbour's door at 2 o'clock in the morning, whether you've got mental health issues or not, if you know and have capacity and know that is wrong, then you can be dealt with accordingly. I think where the partnership hub comes into its own, one of the things that I would say is that we would discuss those cases, and if, say, for example, a individual who's got severe mental health issues has a community psychiatric nurse, which is also a CPN, so I have to get careful with the CPNs, I would give the CPN, as in the nurse, the heads up that they were going to be served with a community protection notice, because what I don't want it to do is necessarily impact on the positive work that they're doing in trying to move them forward. But as long as they've got capacity, then it's a reasonable field to expect they'll be held to account for their behaviour.
Yeah, I appreciate the answer, thank you. But quite a lot of the time I get involved in those social media online, it just tends to be in the back of it.
And again, what we can try and do through that partnership is push and say, okay, do we need to get them some more support? Do we need to be looking at alternative things? Because it's not just about looking at the victim. If the perpetrator has got mental health issues or they've got other social issues, you need to be trying to look at those as well, because if not, they're just going to reoccur somewhere else. So it's about trying to look at it as holistically as we possibly can.
Councillor Loughran.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, thank you very much for that, Helen. I really did appreciate it very much. And if I can just comment and say that I think the fact that the council are so much involved now with the housing association or the housing providers nowadays, I think is making quite a big difference. What you have said to us has been very helpful, because you've dealt with a lot of questions I have had tonight by explaining all to us. I would find it very helpful though if I could have a copy of your slides, so that I would know, for example, I had picked out Harmony. What in God's name's Harmony? You know, and you hear about the hub, and you've got all these organisations who are there to help. How do we access them? But tonight's presentation has actually been excellent in letting us know what we can do. I do know, and I endorse wholly what you're saying about the diaries, and trying to persuade people, it doesn't matter if you're writing the same thing tonight that you wrote last night, get it down, write down everything, and how important that is to keep them as diaries. People get fed up keeping the diaries, but you just get to see, keep on doing it. But I would find it very helpful, I would have to have them.
Of course, if I might just add, Chair, that we will have information on the website as well under the antisocial behaviour about where people can refer to, but I'll make sure that you all get that information.
Thank you, Chair.
Councillor
Pearce.
Thank you. I, when you were presenting the case study, I was convinced it was the one that I reported last year, but when you mentioned there as a provider, I realised it wasn't. And unfortunately, that's got another issue there. But anyway, two questions really. One is, to what extent can we be expected to be informed about what actions are being taken within a situation where you're dealing with an antisocial behaviour problem, assuming we've been involved in reporting it to you? And secondly, is there any role for parish councils in terms of in, initiating a process or in any other way?
Am I okay to ask the time?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, thank you. In terms of action, we would be able to keep you updated. If it's a case you've brought to our attention or asked, we will keep you updated as much as we can. Sometimes we won't be able to give you specifics. And for example, if we've served a community protection notice, I wouldn't obviously share a copy of that notice with you. I would just say we've addressed the behaviour of X, Y, and Z, and we've got some conditions in place to try and stop that behaviour moving forward. So I'm probably looking at Councillor Pert now. We've had quite a dialogue about this particular case. There's some things that I've told you about afterwards. Other ones, I've not said everything that's going on because it is really important that I try and keep a lot of what is confidential. But saying that, Harmony, the support service, will often ask if we can speak to them so that they can feed back to a victim as well. So as long as we've got the victim's permission to share that information with Harmony, then we can do. We also share information with the other providers. So for example, the CPNs, housing providers don't have that power. So very often they would say to us, we've got this case, we've tried an acceptable behaviour contract, it's not working. Could we look at a CPNW? And again, we let the housing provider know because they're going to be monitoring it on a day-to-day basis. So it's probably on a need-to-know basis, but we would keep you ultimately informed. And lastly, your question was, and I'm ever so sorry,
parish
councils. I do apologise. I wrote the action down, but I didn't get to the parish councils. A lot of what I'd said about your role could be adopted by parish councils. Again, what I would say is if there is a rumbling of something happening in the community and it's brought to a parish council meeting in that open session, give us the heads up, get them to send us an email, because if we can get in early enough, then we might be able to resolve the problem a whole lot quicker. So again, I think they can act as that conduit about what's happening in the local community. And if there are any issues or tensions starting to come up, then let us know.
Thank you, Helen. Councillor Pat.
Can I just add a few things, just in terms of this discussion? I have a personal view that it's really important the councillor remains neutral in the discussion, so that you know that there is an ability to act as a conduit to the borough council and to Helen, whilst not overtly influencing. Because it's really important that Helen and Victoria and Vicky remain objective in what they're doing, because were this to come to any formal proceedings, court case or whatever, you know, it's really important that the evidence that is presented is thorough and professional and delivers at the end of the day. And so I think it's a difficult balancing job for both parties, both for the relevant officers as well as for the councillor, to make sure that the resident who might not have much of a voice still has a voice, but at the same stage it's not prejudicial to either side. And that's a really difficult balancing job, and you can only make it on the basis of each case. Parish councils, I think it's a really good question, because many parish councillors are great community leaders and focused in their communities and have relationships that go so much further than our own, because you know we can never have that number of relationships all on the go at the same stage. And actually, for some of them, actually having those difficult conversations in a very neutral way is really quite helpful. And you know, I think that I'm trying to think of the phrase, think globally but act locally. It's something like that anyway, and actually the more we can get local activity, you know what I'm saying.
I do, yes.
I can't think what the phrase is. But you know, if we can get parish councillors to really be effective in those roles, then we can really de-escalate stuff really quickly, because, you know, frankly, capacity-wise, we haven't got the ability for Helen to be everywhere as much as she is omnipresent. She isn't really, and we just need to be careful not to raise expectations. I do want to pick up Councillor Godfrey's point. We've not really talked today about, you know, some of the individuals involved on both sides. One of the things we see right the way through, from antisocial behaviour to domestic violence, and all the extremes in and housing and all the extremes in between, is there is a significant amount of more complex behaviours, you know, one of the outcomes from the pandemic is certainly that is exasperated. You know, there's previously, you know, we would track you know, the people presenting with one behaviour against multiples, and you know, the numbers of complex issues are growing, and I think that will be a long tail that we will have to deal with over many, many years. Thank you.
I'd just like to say, Helen, I'm sorry you've got the back of my head here, that I absolutely agree with what Councillor Pert has just said, and I've witnessed many times a resident coming to a councillor and the councillor completely forgetting that there are two sides to that story, and immediately seizing on the one who's speaking to them without stopping and thinking, you know, I'm not qualified to do this. And I think it's always really important that, as Councillor Pert said, we remain neutral. We gather as many facts as we can, and we feed it back to you, to Tracy, to Vic, to Anna, in the most neutral way. And I'd just like to thank you, and this is pure sarcasm, for issuing the CPN to the young lady who's busking. We now have her in Stone High Street. She's driving the library mad. I personally think she's got the most beautiful voice, but she's the loudest young lady I've ever heard. So thank you, Helen.
That's okay. She's got one for Stone as well.
Thank you so much for your presentation. Does anyone else want to speak?
Chair, before you move on,
yes,
can I just pay tribute to the team? I think they're doing a fantastic job in, you know, some very difficult circumstances, and I think their quality show through very clearly.
Absolutely. Okay, so we are now back to page 10, Tracy.
Thank you, Premier Chair. So this is Court for Performance Reporting. And you have the performance indicators, which are outlined on page 13. I do just want to highlight just a small anomaly with this page, Chair. the year-end forecast, the column, the formula in the column doesn't appear to have worked, so the figures in that column are actually incorrect. So
okay.
I will speak to my team and get this updated, and we'll circulate it through Andy.
Thank
to
you.
The committee, but the rest of the figures are as they stand.
Okay.
So you can see on there is four targets that are recorded as below. There's an improvement report on page 14 that also contains an improvement report for the annual indicator for reported crime and also a narrative report for recycling. So I'm happy to take page by page, Jen.
Okay, page 13.
Chairman, can I?
You can, Councillor Lockham.
It's L15, please, we have actually been.
Oh, you're on 14 now?
Yes, sorry.
Yes, thank you.
No, not
no,
it's 14.
14, L15.
There's the overall figures on 13,
yes, yes.
And
what's
then there's a detail on 14.
What's that on page 13?
Yeah, there's the overall table on 13, and then there's a detail on 14.
To tell I find.
Because
it's ally 5
and
14.
Yeah, so Yes, but I think Councillor Lockman's on page 13.
Do you want to ask your question, Councillor Lockham,
yeah.
Then it will become apparent
I
exactly.
Yeah, it might become apparent to myself as well. It's really actually talking about it. It's clarified that there's more of it on page
14.
Page 14. I was trying to read this one that I'm always complaining about at the time. Yes, yes.
But you were right.
I am, but that's not very often. Yes, and it's not actually LI 15, it's LI 17. The percentage of homeless cases, and that's LI 7 and LI 18. And I've raised this issue before, Anne, and you're probably fed up with me, and I don't care, that doesn't matter. Because when they're being given percentages, you can't really make an awful lot of sense about them, because 37% of 100 is 37 out of 100, isn't it? And that's not very good. But if it was 37% and you're actually talking about only 50, then you're doing not too badly. But if it was even 40, that would be fantastic, it would be great. So I just wondered if you could have numbers so that you know what your target is in numbers. And then we know what the actual achievements are there, rather than percentages.
Who wants to answer this? Councillor Pert or...?
Can I just sort of answer it through you, Chair, in a slightly different way?
Certainly.
Obviously, the two sets of figures, the number of cases resolved through relief and the number of cases resolved through prevention, they obviously add up to 100% because they're either side of the same coin. And I'm not convinced as a metric this is a great metric, because you know obviously if one's below then the other one's going to be below effectively, and really we want to try and get as much done through relief as possible, as much done through prevention as possible, because we want to upstream stuff, because the longer we have and the Homelessness Reduction Act from 3 years ago I think was very much focused on this. The more we can do up front where people can present up to 56 days out, the more chance we've got of resolving some of the issues that sit there, particularly when there are family-based issues or things like that. So I think as a snapshot, it's really not a great metric, because you know you probably need to be seeing the trend of one of them or the trend overall, rather than the you know sort of snapshot figure. That would be probably my sort of overall arching view, and if we've got a chance of changing that metric at some stage, then I would take every opportunity, because I'm not convinced it tells committee particularly much. I'll hand over for the detail.
Well,
and
can I just come back, Chair, to this?
Yes, you can.
You know, that is not my issue here. You know, I could then say to you, well, if we look at the percentage of homeless cases, forget about how they were resolved, you still get an awful lot, you still quite a high percent not resolved, haven't you? Because if you add 37% and 62%.
I think they're all resolved. You know, unless you're telling me something I don't know, I think they're resolved.
The percentage of homeless cases resolved through prevention was 37%. And the percentage of homeless cases resolved through relief was 62%.
Could I
have something on the same point?
Yeah.
You could, Councillor Pearce.
Well, it says it's on track, but, I mean, for quarter one, I'm talking now about L17, cases resolved through prevention. So, quarter one, it was substantially below target. Next quarter, quarter two, it was good. It was over target. But quarter three and quarter four is below target, which,
so
over the year, I mean, you know, it's not just a snapshot, this is over the year. It suggests that something isn't quite working there. And I realise it's a difficult issue.
I don't think it's really that, Chair. I think the issue is you can't predict who's going to come through the door in a quarter. So frankly, measuring it at a quarter, I think, is a pointless exercise. And when you put the two metrics together, you get the overall that it doesn't really tell you very much, in my view. Because the fact that neither of the committee members have been able to really understand what it tells you, and I'm not convinced it tells me very much either, it just tells me, are we going in the right direction to upstream prevention? Because that's what we need to be trying to do. And that's probably, but you can't guarantee that Sony isn't going to be made homeless, you know, and only presents at the last minute. So I'm not convinced it's in Anna's control, or the housing team's control, to really influence some of that. Maybe Anna might give a different perspective to the questions.
Anna, would you like to come into this?
Thank you. I think this target is actually something that's reflected with central government reporting. So this is the way that they look to monitor the Homeless Reduction Act. So the aim is to get as high a percentage through as prevention, so you're preventing somebody becoming homeless, as opposed to relieving their homelessness once they actually are homeless. I think the challenge we've got as a team, and I think you've mentioned around it would be easy to have numbers rather than percentages, is, as Councillor Pert has said, we don't know who's going to come through the door, so we don't set a high target, because that means that more people are at risk of homelessness, but we actually want to deal with everybody who's coming through the door, and that's what we do. I think the reason often that we have a relatively low prevention percentage, even though, in my view, I think the team's doing a very good job, is that people actually present further upstream because we're encouraging them to come to us as soon as possible. The way that this target is monitored is it's in line with government reporting, so it only is within 56 days of them becoming homeless.
Yeah.
So if they came to us 100 days before they were homeless, that's great for us because we've got 100 days to work with them. But they don't fit with our prevention targets. So they're in our triage, which is actually 2/3 to 3/4 of the work the team actually do. So what this is actually measuring is what government looks at, but it really doesn't take into account the wider prevention work that the team do. So I absolutely accept the point you've raised. It doesn't show the full picture, but this is what government looks at as well, which is why we use these indicators. That's why as well it fluctuates a lot between the quarters, is because we do deal with whoever comes through the door.
Yeah.
So we do a lot of work upstream with housing providers, so as soon as their tenancy becomes at risk, we will go and work with them. But then we can't stop those people in absolute crisis, and we'll bury their head in the sand, however much we try to do that for turning up. But we'll always deal with what we, you know, comes through the door as well. So I think that requires a context behind the indicators and shows how it's really difficult to measure, because we don't want to set targets for homelessness, because then it's almost, we want to set targets for the fact that we actually deal with everybody. But that's a really difficult one to try and put a number or a percentage on. So that's why we are using the government, you know, things that we can verify.
Thank you, Anna. Councillor Sutherland.
Well, thanks very much. Anna, just to
a bit confused on page 13, both on the actual report and on this enlarged print. The actual and target are on track.
Where are you now?
On the larger sheet.
Yeah, but which
What's
number?
What's our big problem?
L15. L15.
So it's showing on the third quarter 113.776 or 78, and then 110, and it's on track, which is I agree with. And then on page 14, you've got below target.
It should be
on
target.
Yeah, it
should
be.
Yeah. Thank you, Anna.
Okay.
Any more questions?
Can I ask, what does all the track mean if we don't have a number?
So, on track.
I would have thought you'd be on track if you were trying to get 100%, or if you were trying to get it all done.
Sure.
Can we just let Anna answer?
Through you, Chair, there is a performance direction of travel key at the end. So good is performance that's 10% or more above target. Doing well is on track. Below target is performance that's 10% or more below.
So I think that's since we've had the smiley faces, isn't it, that we've actually moved on to that.
Yes, because of the feedback that we have on the smiley faces.
Yeah. Maybe we should go back to the smart. No. Councillor Pearce.
I would have thought that the target for collecting municipal waste was set at a level which indicates that a high proportion is being recycled. I would have thought that's what it's about. And therefore, if you're collecting above that level, it indicates that you're not doing sufficient in terms of recycling. So I would have thought the fact that it's above the level of the target does in fact indicate that it's below standard, as it were. So that would be my interpretation, but I don't know.
So through you, Chair, so the figures are as presented, and I would agree with what the officers have outlined in terms of their performance for those two indicators.
Okay, thank you. I have a question for LI11. I see that we were interviewing in April for the empty homes officer. Has someone come to post yet?
Thank you. We did interview in April and we have got a successful candidate. Fortunately or unfortunately, that candidate is a housing options officer, and we're now trying to backfill that job before we release them to the empty homes run, simply because of the demand coming through the homelessness service. We can't release them until we've
No, I can understand that. Thank you, Anna. I'd like to move on now to
Can I just ask you, how long
yes?
has that post been emptied for? You know, the empty homes officer, how long has it been emptied for? Was that about an 18 months or 2 years?
No, the post became empty in September last year.
Yeah,
and
thank you.
After that, we did an evaluation of the work of that officer's post, and you will remember a cabinet report that came here showing that evaluation of the work and agreeing to a 3-year fixed term position, which actually extended the funding for that post as well.
Thank you. Councillor Pearce.
Yes, it's in relation to L19, which is on page 13. Probably somewhere else as well, but it's this issue of disabled facilities grants. And I know this has been an ongoing problem, and it's a county wide issue in the sense that it's an agreed contractor for the county. And I understood that the contract was reviewed or changed in order to improve the level, but it doesn't seem to be working.
Councillor Penn.
I've spoken a couple of times about disabled facilities grants. It's not fully true that it's a county-wide contract, in fairness to you, Chair. There are six authorities out of the eight districts and boroughs that have formed a partnership under the Silas partnership. The existing contract is due to expire in April next year, and that is what is going to happen. And as a result, each authority is going to need to find their own solution for how they want to go forwards. In this case, the borough has written a couple of papers which members will have seen, which recommends bringing the service in-house from the from April next year. There will, just in addition, there will be some additional detail that comes through Cabinet as part of that, and happy to maybe schedule something early next year,
yes,
just to talk through what the service should look like.
Okay.
You can read into my comments that a number of things, maybe. One is that performance isn't as good as it could be. Two is that we don't feel that the market is dynamic enough to be able to provide what we need. And as a result, we've taken the decision that, that we have.
Thank you. Can I go back to page 14 now? I have a question on 2.2.4 about encouraging households to increase recycling and minimise residual waste. So does this then mean that we're going to have more separate collection bins and more separate bins and more collections? And can I ask, have we tried talking to the supermarkets about deposit and return? And are we doing anything? I don't believe there's any supermarkets in our area that are working through packaging minimisation with cellophane and all sorts of soft plastics which you can't recycle. Has that come into the mix yet?
Through you, Chair, I know that there is a project in stone, isn't there, that actually does that, and through our climate change panel, our community panel, we are looking at how we might be able to replicate something like that in Stafford. I understand that Becky Martin and Lee Bood have done some of that work, but I'm not sure on any kind of progress that is made, so I'm more than happy to go back and ask the question.
Yes, please, Tracy, if you would. Yes, thank you. Councillor Pearn.
Thank you, Chair. I think the other element which is relevant in terms of, you know, numbers of containers and so on and so forth is the Government's Environmental Act, which is, I think, coming in 2024, which may put additional burdens on this council in terms of collection. That has been taken into account as part of the original contract that was negotiated with Veolia. That said, the collection of residual food waste is an expensive activity, not necessarily in the towns and settlements. It's more in those heavily rural areas, and, you know, frankly, we live in a very rural borough. And so, you know, that it is a not inconsiderate cost to be able to offer a universal service to every household within the borough. And I hope that the government will stand by its commitments to pick up any additional costs.
Okay, thank you. Any more questions on 14? Anybody? Nope. Page 16.
Please, Chair.
Yes, Councillor Lachlan.
Can I look at 2.2.2, and unfortunately everybody's landing on Tracy tonight because there's nobody here from Environmental Services. And I think, you know, that in general there is a lot of good work being done to make sure that our town centres, etc., are kept really clean. But we're also talking here about town centres, parks, open spaces. Now, there are groups who are out trying to keep their neighbourhoods clean and tidy. I know that's happening in various areas. But what is being reported is that more and more garden waste is being dumped in the open spaces. And some of the groups have been talking about how do they get rid of this garden waste that's being dumped? You know, do they actually contact street scene and say there's garden waste being dumped in a particular area? Or do these tidy up groups that are out litter picking and that general tidy up, how do they deal with it? You know, I am concerned about what the people that are out doing that voluntary work are saying is that there's a lot of people not paying their brown bin tax, and therefore rather than pay the brown bin tax, they're actually dumping the garden waste in green open space, not in the town centre obviously. But what do we do about it, you know?
So through you, Chair, so if it's if you're aware that it's been dumped on our land, then obviously phone through to Street Scene,
right,
and soil hocking potentially. We have had some success on
right,
you know, finding people for fly ticking and things like that.
Right.
But yes, if it's if it's on council land, then definitely report it through to us.
Yeah. So I mean, it comes back again to being I sort of suggested that you should keep a diary. And try and watch and see who it is that dumping the rubbish there. But I hope we can have an assurance maybe from the cabinet member when he's finished looking at his phone and assure us that the brown bin is not, the tax is not going to go up.
Through you, Chair, I have we've not been through the budget setting process.
Oh, nice.
And when we get there, I'm sure we will announce it in the normal way.
Yeah, and I hope it'll be that you're not putting it up. Just get to that again. The other thing, if I can, Chair, is
yes,
this group have also been complaining about supermarket trolleys. And I thought that you could just ring the supermarkets and say to them, there's a trolley being dumped. Is that still the situation where if there are supermarket trolleys, you can ring the supermarket and say to them, will you please come and collect your trolleys?
We can find out for you, Councillor Loughran. I'm unsure.
Does anybody know? It's just that,
well,
know,
I know with Morrison's,
yeah,
in,
yeah. Because somebody had said to me, I've now got three supermarket trolleys in my garden. What will I do with them?
I think there's some supermarkets that are better at it than others.
Yes, and you can go online and report it, and the supermarket will arrange to have
I
them picked
like
up.
I don't like to say, why did you bring them home in the first place?
Councillor Pert.
You should have left them there.
Chair, just on the subject of some of the parks and open spaces, obviously it's great news that the Borough Council has retained its green flag status,
yeah,
across its parks and areas. I think it's a good demonstration of the quality of those spaces and actually the value that people place on them. I would just highlight to members that Victoria Park is up for is in a competition. To be nominated. You don't know where I'm going, do you? I don't either. Victoria Park is in a competition because it's been nominated as one of Great Britain's best accessible parks and green spaces, and I would encourage people to vote for Victoria Park in this national poll, see if we can go and win it.
I would hope that the amount of money that's been spent on it, we will win it.
The relevant location is obviously the Victoria Park Facebook page, or also Fields in Trust.
Thank you, Councillor Pert. Still on page 16, on 2.2.3, obviously Robert Simpson is no longer the responsible officer, and I know that Lee Booth has stepped in. Will that be a permanent situation?
So, through you, Chair, Lee Booth is in an interim post at the moment, so I think we just need to see what the outcome of that.
Okay.
There is an interim head of operations in place,
yeah,
now, Neil Crofton, so he will be placing Robert on for the
report. Lovely, thank you. Okay, anyone else on 16, or can we move on to 17? Anybody on 17?
Yes.
Councillor Sutherland.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Reference 2.2.4.
It's the actual commentary and actions, the last bit talking about the national resources and waste strategy. Are we going to improve the amount of recycling by expanding on the number of items at some stage?
I think I have already asked that question. I think you said that you were going to take it back and feed back to the meeting. Thank you.
Through you, Chair, I think equally the implication of moving to food waste collection is that is the aim as well.
Yeah.
Excellent. I was going to ask a question about the garden waste and where it was going due to the reduction, but I think Councillor Loughran's told us where it's going. Anybody else on page 17?
Yes, Chair, could I just
thank
say
you.
We've heard the cabinet member make mention of on the Facebook page for the town park, and I know that the borough council do make use of social media quite a lot when they're advertising things. And on page 17, 2.3.4, you're talking about support the promotion and the use of town centres in the borough. And if I say to you what kind of activities are going on there and the promotion of them, I don't want to be here all night listening to Councillor Pert telling us all that's going on.
I don't think any of us do, Councillor Loughran.
What I would like to say is...
I love listening to you.
Well, I don't care. Why are we relying on social media? Now, we had a flyer came through maybe about 2 weeks ago about all the things that were going on, was it for the Jubilee?
Mm.
And I forwarded that to some of my friends, and the question I got back from them was, where did you get this information? How did we find out about this? How do we know this? Well, my friends are probably, like myself, a wee bit of dinosaurs, and we don't do tweeting and Twittering and Facebooks, and although the town park's got its own Facebook, I don't have a Facebook either. How about promoting it by sending it out? Because I see here where Street Scene were talking about the response that they got to a survey that they did. And that survey must have been done by email. Why can't we send out a lot of this information to promote what's going on in the town centre by email to all your groups that you survey all the time, rather than say the town centre's got its own Facebook or it's got its own Twitter account or whatever? You know, to me it's all right saying that you're promoting it. I don't think you're really promoting it as fully as you could to dinosaurs.
I think it's a fair point, because a lot of our population are not on social media, they're not digitally aware. But my one point for leaflets, flyers, etc., I'm sure you know at election time no one's received a leaflet off you, no one's received a flyer, and yet you've put them through every single door.
I'm not asking them to print them and put them through doors. I'm saying that they're sending out their surveys on email. Maybe they sent out their email to all of the councillors and email. Maybe you could use some of your survey groups and tell them, you know, go to some of these and let us know how much you enjoy them.
So through you, Chair, part of our communication strategy is that we do try to use a variety of mediums across the board, part of that is the utilisation of social media. You know, we do use that because we have to try and service quite a wide age demographic across the board. So, but I will take your comments back, Councillor.
Thank you so much, Tracy. I will want you to see
Councillor Pert and then Councillor Edgerton.
I think Tracy has said everything I needed to say.
Oh, good, thank you.
I just wanted to make a comment actually on what Councillor Loughran was saying. You know, libraries have got a big part to play in getting the word out, you know, because a lot of these people that aren't on social media and what have you do actually go to the libraries.
Is this information in the library?
Pardon?
Is this information in the library?
Well, this is what I'm saying to you. This is why we could promote it through the libraries as well.
Yeah.
Okay, anybody else on page 17? Page 18? Page 19.
Now, this is where I had questions that have now been answered by Helen over there. She gave me a lot of information to me, so that was good. You'd be glad to know.
Page
20.
Page 20. Okay, so I'm now going to hand over to Andrew.
Thank you, Chair. Item 7C is the Business Planning Report, which is the annual review of the Council's work over the last municipal year. On page 22 in paragraph 5.2, it outlines the main issues that the committee considered over the last year. And if the committee agree, this will be reported to the next available Council meeting. It won't be the July one, it'll be the September meeting.
Thank you. Any questions on that? No? Page 24.
Okay, thank you, Chairman. The work programme, the main thrust of the work programme is contained in the appendix from page 26 onwards. The next scheduled meeting of this committee is on the 22nd of September. And it's already populated with a few items there, including a community wellbeing partnership update.
Thank you. Anybody got any questions on that? No? So I think I may close the meeting.
Yep.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.